And people, I was filming this, and one person picked up pieces of his brain and held them in his hands. And that's when we really realized just how serious this was and just how brutal it was. He kept breathing for about another minute or two, and I actually filmed this. I mean, it felt really kind of cruel to keep filming, but at the same time, I knew that people need to see what's happening here. So I kept filming. And he kept breathing for another 60 seconds or so, and then it just stopped. And that's when people started to cry, and they realized that that was the end. And we didn't really have time to react because within a few minutes, there was another person was killed, another person was killed, and that's when the white flag of surrender went up. And that's when I, made the second live, and I said, "We've had three people killed here, and it's a very serious situation." And it was only when we brought the bodies down into the main sort of hold, we laid them one by one. At this stage, we now had four bodies next to each other, that we realized, these people, two, I knew by that stage, the two of the people, the four that we had, I knew them personally. One of them was the webmaster that I mentioned. One of them was a person that we'd met prior to the trip. We'd become friends. We'd been sharing shower gel and things because we'd. We'd been sleeping in a sports stadium, and so we'd just become friends. Even though he couldn't speak English, we communicated through sign language and through jokes, and he'd hidden my camera from me, and we'd become very good friends, and he was one of the other people that was killed. So it was horrific. And so when I give interviews like this, I feel very guilty because, we're still alive. We got out of that situation. So it's not really us, the people who are the press or the people on the convoy that need to be remembered or need to be honored. It's the people who died, whose funerals were held this week, that really need to be honored.
And do you think you will ever be on any other convoy trying to break the blockade?
Some people have genuinely just been so disturbed by what they saw, by seeing their own friends being shot dead in front of them, that I think they won't come again. But most of the people I've spoken to have said, "Let's get ready for the next convoy. We're going to do it again. We're going to do it bigger. We're not going to be intimidated into submission by an army which is out of control, and by Israel, which is out of control and which is behaving like a pariah and behaving like it is above international law."
Among the people you met on the ship and on these convoys, which one of them inspired you the most, and why?
I mean, there was a lot of people who were really inspirational. But I mentioned Ken O'Keefe, the American with Irish citizenship. He was not afraid of anything. And he stood by his principles throughout. And he stayed in that prison whenever all of us left. And he said, "I'm going to fight this case." And just no matter what was happening, he remained brave, he remained calm, and he stood his ground. And for me, I mean, I don't know where he is, I don't know what's happened to him, but for me, he will always, for the rest of my life, remain an inspiration. There were so many people. There was Alex, a lady from London. She left her job to come on this convoy. And, she's a very small lady, and she doesn't have a big physical presence, but she was up there. She was on the deck when the bullets were being fired, and she was trying to tend to the wounded with bullets flying over her. There was an Iranian-American girl who a man had been shot right in front of her, and the bullets were flying over her heads, and she was there trying to help him to save his life. There were many, many women on this convoy, actually. That's another inspirational thing. There were many women who, put their lives at risk to show their solidarity, and that's another impressive thing about this flotilla. So, I mean, obviously there was nine people killed. One of them was part of a couple. They'd come on the ship to, I think they were, it was a Turkish couple. They'd come on the ship together to help the Palestinians. And the husband was killed. He was shot dead by the Israelis. And the wife was there. She was by his side when he died. And all of us were very upset looking at the bodies. But amazingly, she remained strong. And she was telling everybody, "Look, keep calm. It's okay. We'll get through this." Even on the plane, she didn't lose control of her emotions. I mean, maybe when she goes home to her family, maybe that's when she'll really begin mourning. But for her, it was the mission was still too important to give everything up and to lose sight and to lose morale. She was upset, but she kept control of herself. But it was very sad for us. You know, every time we saw her, it brought tears to our eyes, because they'd come on this ship. The environment, the atmosphere had been very positive. You know, it was a multicultural, multinational environment, and people were singing songs in different languages and trading cultural tokens, and they were part of that. And they were so happy, and everybody was so happy because we were going to help the Palestinian people and break the siege. And it ended in such a bloody way.